So as you know, they weren't here. They were celebrating in Los Angeles. So I'm sure it was a very blessed and meaningful and joyous wedding anniversary that they spent together. For this morning's meditation, I would like all of us to turn to Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9. Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, which was today's first lesson. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and tower which the mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this blessed and wonderful Sunday that you have given to us. As we have come together for worship, Lord God, we pray that you would enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth. During this time, as we meditate upon your holy scripture, we pray that, Lord, you would speak to us, that we would hear your voice, that you would convict us, that you would strengthen us, and that you would enable us, Lord, to lead a life that brings you honor and glory. We praise you, Father, for this time. May it be a blessed one for all of us. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. As we read through the book of Genesis, we are provided great insight into how and why God created this world. But at the same time, we also read about the fall of humankind, about how sin entered into this world and how sin has engulfed this world. So it is interesting to note that almost since the beginning of time, human beings have struggled with sin, and they've not always learned the lesson that God intends them to learn about sin. When we read in the previous chapters to chapter 11, we see, or we are able to understand, that the people of the earth were living in sin, particularly during the time of Noah. We see that in that instant, God decides to send a massive flood upon the earth so that he can have a new beginning, so that people themselves can have a new beginning. They can have a brand new start and learn the lesson that God ultimately intended for them to learn. But we see that when we come to chapter 11, again, it may not be as apparent as it was in previous chapters, but people, human beings, are still living in sin. Sin is still prevalent, and we can see that human beings indeed have not learned their lesson. Here in this story of the building of the Tower of Babel, we see human beings exhibiting a different phase or face of sin itself, the sin of pride. And we see that God definitely does judge them, but we also remember that ultimately God has a purpose and plan for the redemption of this whole world. After the great flood during the time of Noah, we see that human beings have become more intelligent, more industrious. Here it's mentioned in this passage that they have learned how to make bricks. That means they've learned some new engineering techniques. They're able to build better buildings. They no longer have to rely on stone. They can use bricks, build towers, build tall buildings. They're able to do so without so much effort as they had done in the previous times. But see, what we have to see is that in this industriousness, people are still sinning. Even in this day and age, when we see human beings, we as people, making so many advancements, being able to build tall buildings, being able to build many schools, being able to do so much from a technological point of view, we have to ask ourselves, is all of this leading us to God, or is it leading us away from Him? Is human ingenuity, is human industriousness allowing human beings to be more holy, to lead a life more pleasing to God, or are we drifting away because of all of this? And that's what we see happening in this story, in the story of the Tower of Babel. As people continue to grow, as people continue to advance, we see that their sin takes a different shape, a different form. It may not be apparent to us what sin that they are taking part in, but we have to realize that the people at this time are a very proud and arrogant people, and that itself is the sin that they are committing. When we look at this passage, there are three different ways in which people are expressing this sinful pride. Here it's mentioned that the people are building this tower and building this city because they do not want to be scattered. They want to stay together. We may think that's not a sin in itself. Being united is something that's intended by God. But here at this particular point in time, this is not what God intended. After the flood, what did God tell Noah and his family? That they should multiply, they should increase, they should be fruitful, they should inhabit the whole earth. Basically, God was telling them to be fruitful, to multiply, and to be scattered throughout the earth. But here we see human beings directly in opposition to this commission that God had given to them. They want to stay together for their own sake and not to do the purpose or not to fulfill the purpose that God had for them. Secondly, we see here that they want to build a city, a big city, and a tall tower that ultimately will reach the heavens. Again, another sign of their arrogance. They want to be able to build a tower so that they can be close to God. So here they're equating the being physically close to God with influence upon God. They believe that if they are close to God, they can influence the way that God deals with them, that they will gain God's favor by being physically close to Him. Again, this is another sign of arrogance, because we know that we as human beings, we are finite. We can never reach the stage of infinite wisdom or the infinite divinity that we find in God Himself. So again, this is a sin of pride that these people are engaging in. It's also interesting to note that the word Babel in the Akkadian language means gateway to God. So in a way, they were building a gateway to God, thinking that through their own efforts, they can reach the presence of God. Again, a very arrogant thing to think about. Thirdly, we see that the people wanted to build this tower, most importantly, for their own namesake, to bring glory to themselves. It's very clearly mentioned here that this is why the people want to build this city and want to build this tower. They wanted to make a name for themselves. And we know that in God's plan in creating us is not to bring ourselves glory, but through our lives and through our life experiences to ultimately bring honor and glory to God. So again, we see this sinful pride being exhibited in these people. So we see here also in this passage that as soon as all of these events are transpiring, God comes down and He judges the people. God is clearly not impressed with what these people are doing. Even though He sees that they are being industrious, even though He sees them advancing in their different approaches, He is not at all impressed, because their mindset, their attitude, their perspective has not changed, because they are still engaged in sin. And so we see here the way in which God judges these people is not by sending another flood. He doesn't judge them by sending any earthquakes or any natural disasters. He doesn't send down fire from heaven to destroy what they have built. What He does is He comes down, and what does He do? He changes their language. He confuses them. So what ends up happening here is that people now are living in chaos and confusion. Chaos and confusion, and that's what the Hebrew word Babel means, to confuse. It means confusion, and this is how God brings about judgment to them. Confusion and chaos, because now they are not able to do even what God intends them to do, nor will they be able to do what they themselves desire to do. We see that God judges them. But we also have to realize here is that even though God does judge them and bring this judgment upon them to confuse them, to bring them failure, to bring about disaster and chaos, this is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. Even though immediately we don't see God trying to resolve this particular issue like he did in other times in the book of Genesis, we see that as we read through the Bible, as we think about what God has done through Jesus Christ, it's through Christ that he ultimately brings about the resolution that is needed for this particular sin of pride. When we read about the murder of Abel by his brother Cain, we see that God does judge him. But at the same time, we also see God providing a new sign of hope. He blesses Adam and Eve with a new son, Seth. When we see the world being destroyed by the flood because the evil deeds that the people were taking part in, we see that God does judge them with that flood itself. But as soon as the flood is over, we see God decorating the skies with his covenantal rainbow as a sign of promise that he will not destroy the earth again. So we see different positive conclusions to different acts of sin that people have taken part in, all made possible by God's grace and his mercy. But here, after the Tower of Babel incident, we don't read about any particular resolution that God brings about. And that's because the resolution that comes about is something that spans a great deal of time, that ultimately concludes and is fulfilled in Jesus Christ himself. It is in Christ that there is true hope and true redemption. Everything comes together in him. When we look at the passage, when we reflect upon Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished for this world, we are able to see the story of the Tower of Babel in a new light, because everything comes to light and comes to perfection and to a perfect resolution in Jesus Christ himself. Although the people are sinful, even though they are judged, God gives them hope in Jesus Christ, in the redemption that Christ has given to this world. So here we see God putting an end to the people building up their own city, building up their own tower, building up, in a sense, their own kingdom for themselves. And what does God do when he sends Christ to this world? Is he initiates the building of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So here God, through Christ, is building a new humanity, a new kingdom that we're all a part of. And it's a kingdom in which all of us are united. All of us are called to be participants of. All of us are called to be citizens of this new kingdom. So in the fullness of time, as we read in the Bible, God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He rose from the dead, removed our sin, and enabled us to draw closer to God. So now Jesus Christ is the new Babel, or the new gateway to God. It's through Christ that we can come to the Lord, that we can come to the presence of God, that we can be free of our sin and free of the punishment of sin by accepting our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior of our lives and Redeemer of this world. So we see here that ultimately God does intend for us to be united, but it's to be united by the power of his Spirit. Just as we read about on the day of Pentecost, people were united by the Spirit descending upon them. And on that particular day, the people were able to speak in different languages, being gifted with the gift of tongues. And that itself was what God intended, so that his gospel message could be spread to all parts of the world. So we see Babel again being redefined. Now people are gifted by the power of the Spirit to speak in different languages so that God's purpose can be fulfilled, so that his gospel message reaches all ends of the earth, not for the sake of bringing honor and glory or making a name for human beings or for humanity. That is the purpose of the kingdom of God, and that is the purpose to which all of us are called to be a part of. So dear friends, as you all know, next Sunday we'll be beginning the season of Great Lent. Lent is a time for us to draw closer to God, to refrain from the things that keep us away from God. So we must utilize this time as a time to grow in our faith life. We must utilize this time to reflect upon the sin that is present in our lives, whether it be pride or lust, or whether it be being unfaithful or untruthful, whatever sin is engulfing our lives, through these 50 days of Lent, we are to reflect upon our sin and come to Christ and fully receive not only his blessings, but his mercy and forgiveness, so that we can lead a purposeful life that brings him honor and glory. Christ is our gateway to God. And let's not forget that. Let's not forget what Christ has done for us. And let's pray that this Lenten season will be meaningful to all of us as we draw closer to him. So may God bless us with these words. May he give us strength. And may his name be glorified in all that we do. Let us bow our heads in prayer.